Homecoming for me. Exactly 9 years ago, last weekend, February 13th, is when I left. And I left, for those of you who remember back then, I left for Budapest, Hungary. So, Bulldog Ujjévés. I'm trying to remember my Hungarian sometimes. So many things have happened. So I think in 9 years, I've been to about 19 countries. And I've lived in about 4 different countries in that time. I moved to Budapest. I lived in Hungary. I lived in the great country of Hawaii. Yes, I know. We suffer for the Lord when we say, "Here am I." But as I say, you know, you have to remember, I live on the big island of Hawaii in Kona, which is known as the moon, with 4-inch flying cockroaches and humidity. Yes. So it's like, but it's Hawaii. it's really kind of an amazing, amazing experience. It's so good to see many faces here. It's Adat is my home. Everywhere I go, still to this day, I talk about Adat because this is the congregation that sent me out. This is the congregation that prays for me. This is the place. So I always honor Bob and Susan because they are my pastors who sent me out no matter what. So I always am telling them exactly what I'm doing, where I'm going. It's very important to keep those who are your fathers and who have made the way for you to go to honor them. That we continuously honor those who have gone before us. Because of our fathers who've gone before us, I get to do what I get to do. So what is it that I do? You know, many people want to know, and sometimes I say, well, when you figure it out, let me know. Because we live in an amazing time. This is an amazing age. The Messianic movement is truly growing, and God is truly calling us, the Jewish people, to rise up, to follow the great love, to follow the call of Adonai, Yeshua, upon our lives. That this is the time that the hunger of the nations to see the light of Israel. And it's amazing that as we go through the prophets and as we go through the Tanakh, we see the promises to the nations as Israel rises up and goes to declare the praises of God. Right? Isaiah 43 talks about Israel was created to declare the praises of God. And so that's simply what I want to do. That's simply who I want to be. I want to go everywhere that our God will send us, that I can go and say, our God is great. That the God of Israel is the living God. He is the faithful God. He is the covenant-keeping God. That right now there's a rise in the world for intimacy. There's a rise for love. There's a rise for relationship. And it's all based upon his faithfulness to Israel. It's all based upon how do we know that God is going to move in China? How do we know that God will move in North Korea? How do we know that he's moving in Mozambique, Malawi, South Africa, down in Uruguay or Brazil or in Mexico? No matter where we're at in the island nations, it's because of his faithfulness to Israel. And right now, I can tell you, it's an amazing, amazing thing to be a man of God, to be a Jew of the house of Israel, to be sent out to the nations, to be sent not as an assimilated Jew, not to go as a Christian missionary, but to go as a son of the living God first. That's the first and most important part. I'm a son of the living God. And then second is to be able to go and say, I'm of the house of Israel. I am the physical descendant, the physical seed of Abraham. God has been so faithful to me and my family and the generations of my family. And really, this is the message that we have, and this is the message where we go. So it's probably, I was trying to think, it's probably been about 3 years since I've actually been in the congregation, and about 2 years since we had the Bible study at Janice's house when you were doing the Acts Bible study. And there was just a real move and a shift beginning to happen here. And it was really encouraging. And again, you know, to come back and to spend last week at the conference, it was amazing because the Adat people immediately were like, oh, family. And it was so well, you know, it was really amazing. And then there's so many new people who were like, oh, welcome to the Messianic movement. It's like, is this your first time? And I'm thinking, yeah, when I was about this big. I'm like, no, I just get to come home and visit. So it was really an amazing thing to see. You know, Dolly was, when I was the youth leader here, she was maybe, you know, junior high or sixth grade or something. And I was amazed. And, you know, and people like talk about you. So I thought, I've heard about you, even though I've been away, about what God is doing. You know, I heard about what God is, and this is the testimony of the living God, is that even I can be somewhere else in the rest of the world and someone will give me a report about what God is doing here, and then we can just be thankful and grateful together. So I live in Hawaii. I work with Youth with a Mission, YWAM. How many of you have heard of YWAM? Okay, almost everybody. It's great because some places I go and people are like, why, what? And, you know, Youth with a Mission, you know, Young Women After Men, or... yes. Or Youth Without Any Money, you know? It's just Youth with a Meeting after meeting after meeting, as far as I know. But I've been with them for 6 years, and... there's an amazing thing that when we tell God that we will say yes to whatever he has to say before he speaks. 6 years ago, Otto and I challenged me. He said, I want you to say yes even before I speak. And my immediate response was, well, of course I say yes. He said, no, you don't. I said, I don't? He goes, no, you stutter. I said, well, what do you mean I stutter? He goes, well, I speak... You think about it, and then you say yes. He said, I want to put you in the place where you'll say yes to me, even before I speak. And it really begins to speak. Do we trust that God knows the dreams of our heart better than we know them? Do we trust that it's truly he orders the steps of a righteous man, even when those steps seem like they don't make any sense? You know, I left here, you know, in the middle of February to go to Budapest in the middle of winter with no support, with just the calling of God upon my life, a one-way ticket to go. And I've been going for 9 years. This is the faithfulness of God. And then God all of a sudden says, I want you to go to Hawaii. And now many people think that this was an exciting time. Yes, Hawaii. And I'm thinking, Hawaii is the furthest place on the planet from Israel. Literally, there's no physical landmass further away from Israel than where I live. I mean, the only way I could get further from Israel is to go about an hour and a half south of where I live. And then I could be the furthest away from where Israel is. And I thought, you know, God, why are you sending me here? I want to go to Israel. He said, yes, go to Hawaii. I was like, okay, so I went there. And then he said, okay, I want you to go back. I'm like, you want me to go back? He says, yes, you're going to teach English to Korean children. Now, how on earth is teaching English to Korean children Jewish ministry? Many people, maybe some in this room, even asked me that question. I had many people who thought, you were called to Israel. You were pastoring the congregation in Budapest. You were working with the Holocaust survivors, and you were going into Ukraine. Why are you going to YWAM? I thought, I don't know, but God is saying, this is where I need to go. And then I did 1 year, and then I did 2 years. I was like, you've been teaching English to Koreans for 2 years. How is this Jewish ministry? I said, I don't know, but this is what God says for me to do. Now, out of this, I ended up, you know, being able to do some Passover Seders. I started building relationship, and I built a lot of relationship. And the thing is, I didn't know that I was going to fall in love with Asia. I didn't know that God was about to open up in the spiritual realm this whole calling of back to Jerusalem, which has been around for about 100 years, but that he was about to birth it in the nation of Korea. I had no idea that he was going to draw me into Japan and China, and that he was going to be opening up doors through Israel. I had no idea when I was teaching English to Korean children that I was doing the grunt work of building up a passion for a group of people that were on God's heart, that were not yet on the mainstream viewpoint of the world of what God was about to do. It's all about being faithful to what he tells you to do, even when it doesn't make sense. And I think, you know, we talk about it all the time. We talk about Abraham, right? We always go immediately to Genesis 12:1, right? God said, I want you to leave your home, your country, your father's house, to go to a land that I will show you. And I think, and people often say, well, I said, yeah, but God still does that to our people. He still says, leave your home, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave what you know, and I'm going to take you to a place that I will show you. And people think, well, but you're a Jew. You should always be just focused in Israel. And I really struggled that with for a while. And I kept praying to God, God, can this be the year that I can move back to Israel? Is this the year that I can go and make Aliyah? Is this the year? And finally, after a couple years, God said, yes. He said, you can move. And you can go to Israel now, and you will be one person reaching your people. He said, or if you begin to serve Asia, if you begin to serve Korea, I will raise up 10,000 people who will serve your people. And how many of you know that a Jew can't pass up a good deal? So, right? I mean, I could hear the voice of my grandfather, such a deal. You know, I think, okay. But sometimes that means we have to lay down our vision. We have to lay down our calling. You know, I thought that I would be married years ago. I'm still single. You can ask my mother. She always asks, did you meet somebody? Did you? I want grandbabies. I'm like, I know, you know. But do we love the kingdom so much that we're willing to put what we thought were the dreams of our heart on hold, believing in faith that God truly knows what the real desire of our heart will be? Can we really begin to put on hold and say, the dream of making Aliyah and going to Israel is so high, but what is greater, me making Aliyah or having more of our people come to faith in Messiah Yeshua and experiencing eternal life, which will then go to the nations, which will then cause them to return from death to life, which will then cause them to go to Israel, which will then cause more of Israel to come and be provoked to jealousy, to see that Yeshua is Adonai, then that more will come, so then there's this whole great life. See, it's all about life. It's about love. It's about eternity. It's about relationship. It's always been, since Abraham, God has always wanted us to know who we are and who we are with him. This is what it's been about. And I think this has been the journey of what I've been walking through, is walking as knowing that it's a prophetic walk. It's like Abraham. You know, his parents must have thought he was crazy. They're complete. They're not a bunch of individuals. We think nothing of it. Okay, your children grow up. Someone moves to New York. Another goes to Florida. A third one's in Texas. And then you all meet up, you know, I don't know, in Seattle or Jerusalem. But we all, but you know, this is the way of the West, but this wasn't the way of our people. Abraham would have gone, his mother, his father, what do you, you're going to leave your birthright. You're going to leave your inheritance. You're going to leave your cousins. You're going to kill me. What are you doing? Who's going to take care of me? You know, and he's like, I got to go. He's like, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm 60, 70 years old. I think it's time for me to take a step outside the tent. And we just never know where that path will take us. We never know what will end up happening. And so I just wanted to walk in obedience. And I thought, but God, why, when? I mean, I had very little knowledge. Now I understand. It's the largest missions organization on the planet. They're in more than 190 countries. We have universities in more than 90 nations. There's more than 25,000 full-time workers. And then so far, we're just now celebrating the 50th anniversary. I think they've had something like 6 million missionaries come through YWAM. They are impacting the entire earth. They're coming together with something called the Call to All, which is joining every major missions organization, church movement, prayer house movement, business, government, politics, sports. They're all coming together to say, how can we accomplish the Great Commission? And God says, Israel needs to be a significant part in this. God says, I want them to have the blessing of Israel because they don't have it. There's a division. It's a huge organization. There's a division. You have those who are firmly replacement theology, who say Israel is the reason that Muslims aren't coming to faith. And then you have the other group that says God is sovereign. Israel is the chosen people. They are the key component in this end times revival that we've been praying about. And at the same time, God says, now I want you to be at the center of this. I want you to be there when they come to you and say, I don't know about this Shabbat thing. You know, what's this Shabbat thing you guys are doing? Can't you call it something different? It sounds too Jewish. It's like, can I call it something different? It's like, I don't know. God said first day, second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, and Shabbat. So if we don't like the day, I guess we can ask him, why did he call it Shabbat? But then they question. You know, one of the interesting things, I was walking through the campus. We have on times between 300 students to 700 students per quarter. And I was walking, and there were two girls in front of me, and I could overhear their conversation, and one girl said, did you hear there's a rabbi here? And the other one said, they let those people here. And I happened to be wearing my Super Jew t-shirt, because it's Hawaii. If you've been to Israel, you know it has the Superman with the black hat and the curls. It says Super Jew. So I purposely wear like provocative t-shirts when I'm in Hawaii because nobody dresses. And I walked up behind them and I'm like, they do, and I'm him. And then I just kept walking on. So, you know, what can we do? And it's like all shock. But today, I mean, this was many years ago. And again, I was like, God, how long can I be here? You know, there's a group even on the base that was teaching replacement theology. And it's like, God, how long do I have to be here? And finally, this last June, I stopped asking. And God finally spoke. He said, you're not going to leave anymore. He said, you're going to take YWAM with you. Because I want a blessing of Israel to enter this organization. Hallelujah. And so I said, okay. Because what has been the process of working with Koreans, being in a Christian organization, is like we're building bridges. People used to say, oh, you're a bridge. You're a bridge between the church and the Jews. You're a bridge between Israel and the nations. You're a bridge between the Asians and the Westerners. Because the Jews were like Western and were Asian at the same time. And we have all these different things. So whenever there was a cultural conflict, I was always brought in to mediate. Because I was working with the Koreans, yet I was Jewish, yet, you know, all these different things. So I had an access to every nation group that was coming through where we were. Now, on average, we have 32 nations represented at any given time in our base in Hawaii. And here we are now making an impact of Israel upon the nations, where the nations are coming to one central location. And I just like, God, you know, what is going on? But God was beginning to really say, you are building the work, because what was the last commandment that Yeshua gave our people? He said, I want you to go, therefore, into all the nations, making disciples of all men. Right? This wasn't to the church. This wasn't to the nations yet. This was to a group of Jewish men who were his disciples, his followers. And this is the last thing that Yeshua told us. Go! And yet, because of our disobedience, we didn't go as far as we should have. Because of history, we were reduced to smaller numbers, to where we became survival mode. Everything that the prophets have spoken came to pass. And then the nations rose up, and they held the place for us. But you know what? We're at a place now, as believers in the world, as Jew and Gentile, messianic and understanding, that we no longer have to just look at our navel and say, we have a right to exist. We exist, we're not going anywhere. The Spirit of God is upon us. He has anointed us to preach good news. He has brought us to go and heal the brokenhearted, to free the captives of Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. We are completely doing all of these things. But what is even in Isaiah 61, which I was just quoting? This is one of the life verses, life chapters that God has given me. As I'm in like verse 4 and verse 5 right now. Go and rebuild the desolate cities. Go and rebuild the ancient cities. Not just in Israel. Because we know that there was one law, one Torah for Israel, and one Torah for the nations. So if God has the heart to rebuild the desolate cities of Israel, he has the heart to build up the desolate cities of the nations. Because the nation's fullness declares the God of Israel. So we have to work together in these kinds of things. People say Yeshua will come when every nation hears the gospel and the good news. I said, well, no, Israel must say Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai first. As well as that. And then I come on the other side and I hear, oh, Yeshua will only come when Jews say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. I say, no, he will also come when every nation has heard the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. Because, right, his heart, that none should perish but all have everlasting life. And so all of these things have been burning with inside of me, and I had no idea what was going on, what is happening. And then I was meeting with one Fijian grandmother. She is a matriarch of the island of Fiji. She's one of the head believers. She looks like she's probably about 40, and she's a grandmother and almost a great-grandmother. She is an absolute prayer warrior and still just graduated with a 4-year degree, the first one in her family line to actually get a degree from the small island of Fiji, where when the believers first went to Fiji, they ate them. They were cannibals. And here I'm meeting with this woman, and she's like, I hear you're a messianic. I said, yes. She's like, why are you here? I said, what do you mean, why am I here? She's like, you people have your own little group. Why aren't you with them? I said, well, this is where God has called me. She says, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, God has given me a heart to come and to serve the nations, right? That I don't need to go and ask the nations to come and always just come to Israel, let it always be about Israel. But the God of Israel, we have to be a servant. The greatest of all will be a servant. So I've come to serve the nations because that's what God called me to do. And she said, how I would have longed to have met a believer of the house of Israel in Fiji who would have come and said that the God of Israel is alive. She's like, all I ever saw were, you know, some people in Fiji went to some conference and they came back with their shofars and their tallits and, you know, they're just all of a sudden trying to make everyone into Jews, but I never met a Jew. She said, how I would have longed. And she had this whole reconciliation moment right there. And all of a sudden I realized the heart of God to send Israel to the nations because it's life from death for the nations. These are the things that we don't realize. I was like, I always thought, oh, it's about the restoration of Israel. He said, yes, but what happens if the restoration of Israel isn't the way you think it's going to come? I thought, well, okay, because I'm not God, so I have to step back. And as we step back, then all of a sudden we realize God is moving in a very specific way in the earth right now. And he is moving in a very profound way that nation after nation, sovereignly, the Holy Spirit has gone. And there's been a rise of prayer and intercession in the earth. There has been a rise of creating prayer houses all throughout the earth. Whereas maybe a decade ago, you would have had a few hundred. Now there's tens of thousands. And every single time people begin to move in this heart of saying, we want to seek God, we want to have intimacy with God, then there's certain things like Habakkuk 2:14, that like the oceans, like the waters cover the sea, so the glory of the knowledge of God will cover the earth. This is like one of the standard verses that gets released in prayer houses. So they begin to say, okay, God, we want to see the knowledge of your glory covered the earth. So what is that knowledge of your glory? And every single time they discover Israel. Every time. It didn't matter if it was the people from Zimbabwe, Zambia, if it was the people in Samoa. These are like real conversations with real people that I've had. And to just be able to go and they all of a sudden become so encouraged. And it's this amazing thing. I'm like, God, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And it was simply because you were listening. Because you were willing to go. And so many times I stand there and I think, I am so completely humbled. And it's not that it's been all easy. It hasn't been easy. It's not that we don't question. We question, right? We were born out of a line of questioners. And I think about this. Moshe is before the burning bush. It's almost Pesach. So Moshe is before the burning bush and it's not going out. The voice of the living God is coming out of the bush. And he has the audacity to say, oh, are you sure me? Really? Who, they're going to listen to me? It's like, God is speaking. I thought, well, you know, and what was God's response? He gave him encouragement. He gave him life. He gave him his name. Because Moses asked, well, who should I say is going to send me? Not like, why don't you know who I am? He said, oh, I will tell you. that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Jacob. This will be my name forever as a memorial to them. We get the name of our God and who he had tied himself to because he questioned. So I'm all about questioning. And so then through this process of questioning and moving and being in Hawaii, teaching English to Koreans, living life with various people in various nations, and began to say, okay, Lord, what's going on? And God would have me start to take teams to Israel. And I discovered the most amazing thing when I took my teams of Asians to Israel. The Israelis were completely open to them. Like, I would go, and they were like, he's Jewish. They're like, oh, that's nice. You're from Asia. You know, you have this people. This is amazing, you know. And they would come to them, and like, people would come and like bow to my team. Oh, you're Asians. Oh. And I'm like, they never treat me this way. It's like, eh, you know, if I want a Jew, I'll go there, you know. But it's like Asia, and they're like, why are you here? Oh, because we love you. You love us. You're not here because of Buddhism. No, Buddha's not the right God. What do you mean? Your God's the right God. You know, this one man I met in Korea recently, it's amazing. He is one of the producers on a documentary film that's currently released in the secular movie theaters in Korea. It's called Restoration. And it's about the restoration of Israel. And it's about the treatment of the Messianic community by the Orthodox community. I don't know, maybe you guys have, they were there doing a documentary filming about a year and a half ago, a group of Koreans. They were going all over. And right now, and they even go into the history of the Western Church as to some of the reasons of the mentality of the Jewish people towards Christianity. And it was been so popular, they only released it on one theater, and it was so popular that after a month of continuously being sold out, everything, it's now being in 16 screens. And this is the regular movie theater. This is the heart. So this young man who is the second producer on this film, and he's going around advertising it all over Korea, I met with him. And he said that, you know, the members of Knesset of Israel came to Korea not too long ago. And he was on the hospitality team. So he was speaking with some of the members of Knesset. These are the government officials of Israel. And they're like, so, you know, why are you helping us? He goes, oh, I love Israel. He said, you love Israel? He says, yes, I love Israel with my life. They go, with your life? He goes, I would die for Israel. You would die for Israel? So how would you die for Israel? So, because my God would die for Israel. Well, who's your God? My God? He's your God. He's our God? He's like, yes, and he died for Israel. And because he was willing to die for Israel, I would be willing to die for Israel. And they couldn't respond. Can you imagine a Jew not knowing what to say? And here they are, members of Knesset, politicians for that matter. That's like a Jew and a politician. You know, if you had a rabbi on top of it, it would have just been like the trifecta. But what would have it, but this is the heart. This is the provoking to jealousy. They have no response. There was no response whatsoever. This is the heart that God is releasing. And then what happened to me when I went to Asia? So I go into China, and what was the number one selling book when we were in China? Janice and I have talked about China a lot. It's like, why are Jews so intelligent? Number one selling book. Like, I go everywhere, like, you're Jewish? Oh, you're such smart people. So really? Oh, Jewish education, best. So many Nobel Prize, so many things. I'm just thinking, you haven't met the stupid ones yet. You know, all of us, we know in our families, right? We don't talk about them. But this is the heart. This is the mind. This is the very thing that God is birthing and going through. So I go, and all of a sudden, what did I discover when I was in Asia? I had free reign. It doesn't matter where I am. I'm in Korea. I was in North Korea. I was in China. And in all of these places, I have free reign to openly speak. Why? Because one, I'm a Jew. As a Jew, I have more than 5,000 years of history. As a culture that old, they immediately say, we will listen to you. As the next one, they say, I said, well, you know our God, and you know that Yeshua is not a Western God. He's not a Western God, because they all learned that he's a Western God. I said, he's an Asian God. He's an Asian God. I said, I'm Asian. You're Asian? I said, I'm the westernmost part of Asia, but I'm Asian. You know? It's true. Well, especially, you know, and they thought, and they're just, I said, you know, we celebrate holidays in common. We do? Yes. We have lunar calendar in common. We, you know, so there's so many things. And coming from the Messianic perspective, I was in a school, a communist-run school. There were 30 students, and I was being interviewed. Now, you're only allowed to answer a question which is asked. So who better to go and get people to ask you the right questions than a rabbi, right? What's our love language? Questions. And so as long as they ask me the question, I can answer. So the question is, how do I get them to ask me the questions? So, you know, oh, you're a Jew, yes. Well, what do you believe? Oh, we believe in God of Israel. Well, do you have a book? Yes, we have a book. Well, what's your book? Oh, the book is the Bible. Well, what does the book say? What would you like to know? We'll start from the beginning. Great. Thank you. And it's just, and it opens up the whole door so that we can now open up the entire gospel. And we go boldly. We don't have to go in afraid. When we go openly, we don't have to go afraid. When we can go and be who God has called us to be. So here is this thing. I'm living in Hawaii, not knowing where I'm going, what I'm doing, knowing I'm just listening to the voice of the Lord, honoring Him, knowing that I'm called to be where I'm called, not because of money, not because of support, not because there's any outward sign of anything, but simply by knowing that God said go, and I wanted to be faithful and go. And not knowing that building small relationships and building small things were going to open up doors that no man could close. And so when God, I was in Yerushalayim for Pesach this last year. The first time I could, you know, I was actually every year, right? Leshana haba'ah be Yerushalayim. Next year, may we be in Jerusalem. I was like, finally, I'm here. And I was there, and I knew I was supposed to be there. And God started just giving like prophetic dreams and opening up doors and opening up all kinds of things. There was one man from China who had come, and he was at the Seder that I was leading. And from this, he had a discussion, and there was a meeting to go to this call to all, international convocation, 3,000 people meeting in Hong Kong to discuss how the world can fulfill the Great Commission. And the Chinese said, Israel has to be the key component. So China came to Israel to invite Israeli Jewish messianic leaders to come to China, and they said, you must go. And so I went to the meeting, I was there, and we were all discussing it, and this poor guy, you know, he was from Hong Kong, and he's sitting around a table of rabbis, and they just started letting him have it. And then, you know, it's just as the normal way of what we're doing, but God opened up the door for me to be able to speak, and we said, it's our time. You need to understand, God will fulfill the Great Commission. He will absolutely do it. But we will either join the world body, we will either join our brothers and sisters, we will either have the voice and bring the presence of Israel and the blessing of Israel with us, or we'll sit on the side and God will raise up somebody else to do it. But it's our time to go and be a voice. It's our time to go and make sure that Israel is represented in the body. Because here is China and Asia, that the Western world is saying God is passing the torch of missions and leadership authority of the world body of Messiah to Asia because they've been born for this time. And Asia says, we will only receive this if Israel is acknowledged as the elder brother. This was their demand upon the West. And so we got to go and watch as prophetic movements began to unfold. And I thought, Lord, what is going on? And I'm sitting in a room with 1,500 underground believers, the first time in their life, worshiping with an international body of believers openly. This is the day and the time. And what did the ones from China want? They wanted a blessing of Israel. Left and right, every single one of us who had come from Israel, because I was sent out from Jerusalem to go and represent Israel as one of the people from Israel to go. It was, they would run and they wanted prayer. There was no interpreter. They did not speak English, nothing. They grab your hand, stick it on their head and say, pray. And the next person doesn't wait. They grab your other hand and stick it on their head and say, pray. So you're just praying for people two at a time because there's so many and they want the blessing of Israel. They weren't running up to the other nations. And they didn't care if they were Jew or Gentile. What they cared were you representing Israel and the God of Israel? That's what they wanted. They didn't care that, you know, my friends who were with me were not Jews. They were Gentile nations. But they were there representing Israel because they've laid down their lives for Israel. And so this is the day and the time that we live. And so God birthed the vision. He said, I want you to go to the back to Jerusalem nations. He said, they are beginning to train and learn to lay down their lives for your people, and they haven't even met your people. And he said, they need the blessing of Israel to help them on the going back. See, because God said, it's not just about Asia going back to Jerusalem, but it's about Jerusalem going to the nations as well. We're not building a one-way bridge to Israel. We're building a two-way highway. That way we can go and cross each other. They can go to nations that we can't go to. I can go to nations that they can't go to. This is the way that God has built us together. And so I had this dream, and God really poured out. And even on that night, I've had a vision for North Korea for 5 years. Ever since a very good friend of mine died in Hawaii, 24-year-old man drowned in the ocean. His vision and his dream was North Korea. And I remember the week after he died, I cried out to the Lord. I said, anything I can do in my life to fulfill the calling of this young man, I will do. And I've been praying for North Korea. I met North Koreans. I prayed at the DMZ zone in South Korea. I prayed at literally on the Tumen River, which is the border into North Korea. I met defectors who have fled from North Korea. I listened to their story. Let me tell you, those of us who know the stories of the Holocaust, we were made to help these people because they are living a living Holocaust right now. And who better than the people who've already have the life of Yeshua, the forgiveness and love of God, the restoration and reconciliation of the Lamb of God in us to go and minister to such people. Not to mention that the whole reason that this is going on is because Jews who defied their calling in God created communism and trained the leaders which created North Korea. So even the Jewish people had a hand in creating the government which is now considered the worst government on the planet. It is the most closed nation on earth. The people are absolutely starving this winter. It's been terrible. Even the rivers froze and they can't get any fish. It's, you know, and because of the Olympics, I don't know if you know this, in China, they shot silver pellets into the air to make it rain, to clean out the air for the Olympics. But because they did that, it caused a drought in the south. So now there's a shortage of rice. See how all of these little things, because the God of Israel isn't your God, that it just spirals and spirals down? And that when we go in with this message of life and hope and what God can do, so God opened up the door for me to legally go into North Korea. I brought two young men with me. I get to go again in August. When we went in, we went openly as believers. I went, there's an official, there's two churches. And it's to show that they have freedom of religion. But they were some real believers in the church, and there were some who were not. But it was on the first day of Sukkot. And the pastor asked us to share some words, and so the leader shared some words, and then he sat down, and the pastor was like, is that all? And so my leader looks, he goes, Matthew, sing a song in Hebrew. I'm like, preacher, teacher, singer. But this is Asia, and when the leader speaks, you must obey. So I said, okay. So I stood up, and I sang Hodu La'Adonai, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. I was declaring a prophetic unction in the middle of Pyongyang, where in 1907 there had been revivals, to where, did you know that Pyongyang used to be called the Jerusalem of Asia? Because there were so many believers in that land, and the enemy came in to destroy it all. And we were there to declare the faithfulness of God upon that land. And I could see the stress in the faces of the government people, like, how am I going to translate these words? I don't know. And I was like, yes. So now you're going to have to figure out what it was in Hebrew, go get the translation, and then now you're going to have to translate it. See, there's a lot of things about what you're knowing when you're being listening to. So they're listening in the hotel room. They're electronic bugging. So what do? You read the Bible out loud. Why? Because then somebody has to write it down. Then somebody has to translate it. Then somebody has to read it. Right? So now you're getting the Bible into the hearts and minds of the people. You wait for the moment and the opportunity to share the gospel. The person, you know, our tour guide was kind of really derogatory towards us because we were believers. And he was a little bit of a womanizer. And he's like, maybe I should pray to God for a wife. And it was like, he said the comment. So I was like, yes, our God answers prayer. If you answer and call out to God, he will answer your prayer. See, you immediately get to share the truth and the life and love of Yeshua as soon as they open it up. And God began to change and transform things. Then God has opened up a door in South Korea, which, you know, in South Korea, there's more than 100 Presbyterian denominations alone. Just Presbyterian. They were used to be some of the greatest replacement theology of anybody because of Western American missionaries who went and taught them replacement theology. Now, isn't this the time in the day that God has raised up me, a Jewish man, I was a rabbi of a Messianic congregation living in Hawaii and had me start to serve in a Korean Presbyterian church? This is the humor of our God. Like, this just defies all logic, but God does something. And I went to Korea for 4 years, and for 3 years, there was no movement. There was really very little understanding. But in the last year and a half, it's been like an explosion. They've planted in Jerusalem more than, I think, about almost 2 years ago now, a 24/7 house of prayer. There's right now 4 24/7 houses of prayer in Jerusalem. One of them's Korean. People who've gone and they dedicate their lives, and not just like go and pray, they pray for 10 hours or 12 hours a day for the salvation of Israel. They go to bless the land. They go to release these things. And then I've been getting to meet more and more. And then just before I came here, the last 3 weeks, I was at a conference. And at this conference that used to be a primary focus on North Korea, well, then God said, you need to focus on Israel. And then out of Israel, you'll focus on the Middle East. But Israel needs to be a priority. And so they are actually beginning to send out a team next month to plant the second 24/7 prayer house dedicated for the salvation of Israel. I personally was able to pray, lay hands on, and equip for more than 1 week about 5 people who will be going, and then training another 30 people who will be going in the next year who will give up 1 to 3 years of their lives for Israel. This is just the beginning of what's going on. It's just the very, very first fruits. And I begin to see this. And so we're now beginning to pray and see what God is beginning to rise up. And then people said, well, how does Israel and North Korea come together? I'm like, did you know the same year that Israel was reborn as a nation, North Korea was divided? Satan wants to destroy, kill and destroy. But God has a role and a place, because if North Korea comes out and becomes alive, it's the most closed nation on earth. Can you imagine what happens when they come and start to say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai? What happens when they begin to say, the God of Israel is our God? What begins to happen when Israel goes and has an influence and an impact? What happens when we no longer are known for our intellect, our Nobel Peace Prizes, or our Nobel Prizes, our businesses? Because what happens when we're known because the God of Israel is going with us? This is what Israel is supposed to be known for. Everywhere I go, oh, you're so smart. Oh, you're such good at business. Oh, you're these things. And I thought, no, that's not who we are. We are the children of God. Our God is the only God. Our God is the living God. The reason we have blessing is because of who our God is. And this is what they want to have. So I was in China, and I went to Beijing, and I was supposed to go to one group of underground Bible schools. But because of communism celebrating their 60th anniversary, they began persecuting the home church leaders again. So they said, it's unsafe for you because you're white. You can't come. I said, God, okay, I can't go. What should I do? And I just felt like the Lord said, don't plan. I've got it planned. I thought, okay. Literally, the day before I went, my friend met a contact who also happened to be a YWAMer, who also happened to be connected with people for the Back to Jerusalem, who also happened to be connected with Bible schools. And the day I met her, who also happened to call and said, is there by any chance any foreigners with a heart for Israel who are in China right now who could come and teach? And she's like, I just met a Messianic rabbi and a Jew who's here who has a heart to come. He said, great. So they snuck me out, and I had 2 guys with me, and we went out, and we went, and I thought we were just going for a meeting, and on the way there, they said, okay, you're going to be teaching, you're going to start, and it's going to be 4 to 5 hours long.
Wow.
Right, 4 to 5 hours, you know? are you ready? And I thought, of course I'm ready. Right? This is what we've been trained for. You have to be ready in season and out of season. We never know when the opportunity will come. And so here I am, and then from there I got invited to another underground Bible school. And I'm just thinking, I'm with these 16-year-olds to 21-year-olds giving up 2 years of their life. They pay $15 a month. They live together, sleep together, cook together. They're not allowed to go out because if they get caught, they could all get arrested. All because they want to learn the Word of God. All because they want to go and dare to go and make a difference, not just to China, but to the nations. And here these people have next to nothing, and they even take up an offering for me. Like, they say, you're our teacher, we need to bless you. And so we take it and immediately bless, you know, sow it back into the local community for what God was doing. But this is the heart of what's happening. And I'm teaching about the tallit. And even as I started teaching, one of the pastors is like grabbing onto the tzitzit. And he's like, and it's like, he's like sitting right there and he's like holding onto it. And I'm like, this is such a prophetic picture. Right? So I immediately open up to Zechariah and everyone opens up to Zechariah and he's still holding it. I said, can we just read this together? And then they're reading it. I'm like, and he's like looking at his hand. They're all like, oh, this is what it is. This is literally what ends up beginning to happen. When 10 men from 10 different languages of 10 nations will come and grab a hold of the tzitzit of a Jew and say, I will go with you because God is with you. But let me tell you, I have gone and I have done teachings in these places and I've had so many people that they share one string each. All of it, the entire surrounding. I've had, you know, 50 people. I've had 200 people. I just was recently where there was about 250 to 300 people. And they all come. And it's just this amazing, and they're all grabbing, and I think, and I just look at the room, and I think, okay, there's 2,000 in the room right now, and I'm one. This isn't the ratio that Zechariah said. But by God, I am going to be here as prophetic intercession that it will be one day. And that I went to Israel, and again, in Israel, it's one message. Send your young people out. Have faith that God will take care of your congregation. Have faith that by us going and blessing the nations, more of our people will come. You know, if you try to, it's even just right out of what was read today, right? You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Oh, but these are my good people, you know? And I remember when I was going, we had this meeting, like, you're going for how long? And it was like, I don't know. You don't know? I don't know. It's like, I thought maybe you would go for, a month or 2 months. And then it was, well, after 3 months, okay, you're going back. And then it was, well, if you survive a year, maybe you're called to this. And now it's been 9 years, and we look at what God has done, and we think, what have I realized? I've seen more Jewish people come to the Lord. I've seen more people of the nations come to the Lord. I've seen Holocaust survivors come to the Lord. I've seen radical healings. I've prayed for barren wombs, and women have been able to conceive by the power of Yeshua. We have seen healings in multiple areas. I've lived, I've laughed, I've cried. We've seen people die. We've seen people raised from the dead. These are the things that God is doing in their time. We've seen multiplication of money, multiplication of food, supernaturally. You know, we've seen these things. We've had martyrs. We've friends of mine who've been martyred. All for the sake of the gospel. And this is the thing that we're missing when we're not joining. But this is the thing that you're beginning to reap because your hearts are very much for whatever God wants, we want to be part of. Because of your open hand in releasing me, all I can say is thank you. Because of the open hand to say, we will trust that God is leading, that God does order the steps of a righteous man. And even though we can't see the destination, we're going to have faith. Even though up until just this last year, it was like 15 years of ministry came together in this last year. It was mind-blowing that when I went to Korea this last time, I was going to go for a few weeks. I ended up extending for 7 weeks. I ended up getting so busy. I was busy 6 days a week because I said I take a Shabbat. And on the Shabbat, but on the other days, I would teach at least 3 times a day, sometimes in 3 different locations because there was such a hunger and a need. I went just now for 18 days, did 3 conferences, spoke at 3 different churches, and had to turn down a whole bunch of others because of what God is doing. I've been sent out from Kona with the blessing of the leadership of YWAM to represent Kona to both Israel, the Jewish community of the diaspora of Asia, and the Asian communities of the diaspora. It's an amazing thing, because wherever you find Jews in the diaspora, you'll find Asians in the diaspora. We're all together. And God has such a calling and a time and a season for preparing the bride for his return. And we are one bride. And that bride comes through the ketubah, which was given to Israel. And so we have a joint mission together to prepare the world, because they're engaged to a God who loves them and they don't know it. And we have to just believe, we have to dare to believe that by us being obedient to the word of God, that God will be faithful to our people. He will be faithful to provide. He will be faithful every step of the way. It hasn't been easy. You know, just like you guys, you know, all throughout the world, economics have not been very good. Many missionaries have really suffered. But God said, you cannot let money be the reason you do something. You have to go and be faithful to what he said. When I left in September, literally, we already, the due date had come and gone, and we were given a deadline of 7 days. And we had no money until 5 days had passed. None. We had visas for China and about $50 and had no money. And literally, within a day and a half, we had $12,000. And that gave us one-way tickets to China and enough money to go into North Korea. When we were done with North Korea, we had $34. And then God gave us more money, and we had one-way tickets to Korea. And then when we were in Korea, we got enough money to go to Israel. And while we were in Israel for 2 months, we used all the money from there. Even when we went to China, we received offerings from the underground church. Even from more people, they came to say, no, we're going to bless you. We're going to bless Israel. We want the blessing. And God just said, I told you to go. You know, last year was a very difficult year. At one point, I lost all of my support for more than 3 months. I didn't get a single dollar. And we thought, and again, if you use money or you use an outward sign to verify that word of God, you might miss something. But when you're like Abraham and you say, okay, I will go, and I'll just keep going until you tell me to stop, and I will trust. I will trust, you know, like Israel, okay, my shoes won't wear out. All right. I've never gone without clothes. I've never gone without housing. I've never gone without food. All of your contacts dried up, and all of a sudden, in one day, all the doors open up. Why? Because God speaks, and you obey. Because he is still the faithful God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's the faithful God of our patriarchs. He's the faithful God of our prophets. Faithful God of David. He's the faithful God of Yeshua. Faithful God of the disciples, and faithful of the disciples of today. He truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He truly has a heart and a desire for us. And so I'm still going. I've been traveling for more than 5 months. I've done more than 14 international flights and a couple domestic flights. I've lost count after 30 different beds. People say, where's your home? I'm like, wherever my suitcase is. My driver's license says Hawaii, but I won't go to Hawaii until maybe the end of July. From here, I have an opportunity. I'm going to be traveling to Germany, and I'm going to be going to Altensteig, and I'm going to be meeting with a man whose father was a concentration camp guard. He's in his 80s, and we're going to be meeting together and opening up some doors, because they have a real heart for Israel. And they believe that Israel is a key component in worldwide revival. And from there, I've been asked to go back to Korea, where there was three or four churches now have come together and formed a house of prayer, and they wanted to create a ministry school with an Israel mandate. And they said, would you please come? So they've invited me to come and bring a team of different people, and going to be creating a ministry school that will bring the heart of Israel and then bring them to Israel. At the same time, I'm helping this other group plant their house of prayer in Jerusalem. I've already been to Israel about 3 times in the last year. I'll go at least 2 or 3 more times this year. I'll be going to China. And also in this last time, God opened up the doors for Mongolia, possibly Singapore and Sri Lanka. There's an ever opening. It's like as soon as God releases a word, it's been happening. There's an awesome man of God who works in Bethlehem. And we are good friends, and he immediately said, no, God said you're going to keep going, and there's going to be more nations. And then the very next week, I was invited to more nations. This is the time that we're living in because of the faithfulness of our God. This is the time that we're living in that God is saying Israel must rise up and truly be the elder brother. This is the time that we can believe in the miracles of God because they're happening out there. Salvation's in the street, healing's in the street. This is the stuff and the times of the Bible, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. This is the time that Jews can go to Christian missions organizations. This is where messianic believers, Jew and Gentile, can go to Christian organizations and not have to assimilate and not have to justify yourself and go with the power, authority, and anointing of God because he's called us for such a time and season as this. This is who and what God is doing. So I really would just ask you to continue to pray for me, pray for my health. I'm continuously discipling younger generations. I've got whole groups of Koreans, Chinese, Americans, Korean-Americans, British Koreans, Australians, Indians, that I'm discipling all over the world continuously. So if you look at my Facebook and you go through my friends, it's like the United Nations. But this is the United Nations of the Kingdom of God. And my heart is ever for the youth and the younger generation because they are the ones that God is releasing and raising up. And they're the ones who can go. You know, and people often say, I think, you know what, thank God I can go. If the Lord brings my wife, praise God. My mother would rejoice. I would be pretty happy too. But until then, I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going for the kingdom and keep coming home as often as the Lord will allow, but not to come home at the expense of the kingdom. And these are the days and the times. So I just want to speak blessing upon you. I want to speak the fullness of God upon you. The deep intimacy where you're getting your fullness of your identity in him and who he is. And that you would be free and boldly be able to share who you are with everyone around you. This is the time. This is the place. You need to be who God has called you to be. All the time. You see somebody who is sick, you have a God who heals. Doesn't matter if he's Jew or Gentile. He's the God who heals. Somebody who has a need, that is an opportunity to speak the life and the blessing of God into somebody's life. You know, we just wanted to be boldly. I was in China and we were having a dinner and they said, would you bless the pastors? They were these four underground church pastors. And I said, yeah, the Lord gave me a word for each of them. But then the server was standing there. I'm like, God wants to speak to the server. Is it okay? And said, yes, so we're in the middle of China, right? Communism. You have to, and begin to speak life to a girl who had never heard about who God and Yeshua was. This is where we are, and you've got the servers all around you. The people in the grocery store, everywhere. And this is the thing, and this is the heart. Just speak the life of the God of Israel. We were created to declare the praises of our God. Don't hold those praises in. It's not just for the missionary, or the pastor, or the rabbi, the person who goes. It's for all of us. This is the living memorial of who we are. This is the faithfulness of our God. And it says when we declare his praises, then people will live in their fullness. If we don't declare the praises of our God, then the nations and the people around us can never live in their fullness. And that's what our real heart is. Amen. Amen. Amen.